Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. It's a great day to be a Wisconsinite. It is Friday, April 26, 2024, TGIF, 6 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock, hour number two of the big show, joined by our outstanding producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommer, is on the board, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square in Madison, Wisconsin. Mr. Zommers, our final hour of the week.
Indeed. Here we are. Looking forward to these. We got a few more headlines from Peter Rapine, managing editor of eBombs World. And I'm just saying, you're not ready for these.
I'm not ready.
You being the listening audience. So make sure you stick around for the second half an hour here, because there's some interesting ones.
I cannot wait. I'm with nervous anticipation. I'm filled with coming up at the bottom of the hour, as Mr. Zommer said, Peter Rapine, ongoing contributor. He is the managing editor of EPOM's World, coming in with these headlines. We can review actual things done by actual humans. Looking forward to that.
Also going to have a little board game of the week.
Board game of the week coming up this half hour. Lots to get to, as the song says, a long way to go and a short time to get there. So let's get right to it in this half hour. I said I'd mention it, and I will. I have the Green Bay Packer shirt on today. Green Bay Press Gazette reporting that Green Bay Packer fans should never be surprised when general manager Brian Gutekunst surprises them. Exhibit A this year is left tackle Jordan Morgan of Arizona. First of all, I want to stop right there. I love the name, Jordan Morgan of Arizona, who the Packers nabbed with the 25th pick in the first round of the 2024 NFL draft. It was clear the Packers were not conflicted. They made their pick before much of their 10 minutes expired. Offensive linemen were flying off the board last night, as were quarterbacks. So the other position the Packers most want to fill might still have players they want in the later rounds. That's how Jim Henneman of Nolaton sees it. Quote, absolutely, he emailed. He was in Minnesota with buddies from the Owen Withy area to watch the draft. Quote, the group feels the pick is a good value pick. There is some disbelief they didn't go defense, but in his words, he can protect quarterback Jordan Love's blind side for a long time. There will still be several strong defensive impact players on the board, unquote. I agree with the pick. I don't get involved in the draft like a lot of people, but I was hoping they would go offensive linemen, and they did. Usually, they don't do what I hope they do. That's why Todd's not running the Packers, you understand? I'm still salty, of course, that the Packers passed on T.J. Watt a few years ago. Could have had T.J. Watt.
Yeah, it would have been great, but...
But not to be.
Oh, well.
Anyway, the draft continues. It goes on all week, of course. All weekend, I should say. I believe ESPN still has the rights, NFL Network as well. So lots going on in the NFL draft. We will continue to follow that. I also want to bring you a cut here. We started the show off in the first hour with this, that Joe Biden finally getting the credit that he so richly deserves from the North American Building Trades Union, who endorsed him this week. And get this, of the 3 million members in the trades union, a quarter million of them live in three battleground states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, right here in the Badger State. Endorsing him because he's gotten things done, like the Infrastructure Act. And Joe Biden was on Howard Stern. I believe this is from today. And of course, Howard Stern for a long time was the shock jock, as they say, saying outrageous things, violating FCC laws with four-letter words and the like. But at times, highly entertaining and very successful, I might add. But what I love about Howard Stern here in the last few years, he's kind of turned into this quintessential interviewer and has very interesting guests and knows how to interview people. And I want to bring you the last minute and a half of Howard Stern's show, I believe from today, when he was commenting on Joe Biden. And I think he says it so well. Here is Howard Stern from the Howard Stern Show on Joe Biden.
I want to thank you for doing this today. I want to thank you for your compassion. You know, when I think of the reason I'm so excited to talk to you was because I wanted to understand the tragedy in your life and how you dealt with it. And you're the kind of leader I love, because we're lucky to have you in the Oval Office and serving as the father of the country. Because if you're a good father to your family, which you are, I know you'd be a good father to the country. And I want to thank you for providing a calming influence, an organized administration post-COVID, getting that vaccine out. I remember what the world was like at that point, getting NATO, getting us to feel comfortable, standing up to Putin. I could read your greatest hits, but I'm being given the high sign. But the incredible large growth in the jobs, unemployment rate down. I don't know what people are looking for in a president, or maybe it's that people don't feel like they're getting enough or something. I don't know what it is, but I'll give you your greatest hits. The lowest uninsured rate in history, 4 out of 5 Americans are covered for less than $10 a month. Knocking off a few ISIS leaders, cutting the emissions in half. I mean, you've always been an environmentalist. Even the marijuana reform laws, enough with sitting there and fighting that battle. Respect for Marriage Act. What the hell is with people with this gay stuff? Who cares if someone's gay? How is it affecting anybody? People in love, it's good, right?
There you go. There's Howard Stern just kind of getting down there and telling it like it is. And for someone who is known a lot more, I think, for his entertainment in certain circles than his interviewing skills, I mean, he just lays it out there. And I think that more people need to just lay it out there and say it the way it is and put the truth out there of what Joe Biden has accomplished. And that's what we try to do here. Put out the facts, lay it out there. Because in any other election year, with Joe Biden's record, he'd be a shoo-in for re-election. But because of extenuating circumstances and who his opponent are, things kind of get lost in the shuffle. So God love Howard Stern for just laying it out there and telling it like it is. Again, kind of a speed round this half hour, as we're going to be joined by Peter Rapine from EPOM's World with Week in Review at the bottom of the hour. Now, here's the other cut I want to play for you. This is from Samuel Sleeves, S-L-E-E-V-E-S. Samuel Sleeves, a teacher in the Los Angeles area, who, and this is brilliant, has taken what he hears in the classroom and turned it into some stand-up comedy, and is doing stand-up as well based on his teaching. So here's Samuel Sleeves in an Instagram post recently, a couple, 3 days ago, where he's talking about how he talks to these kids in high school classrooms or middle school and high school classrooms, and get, because they have their own vocabulary, you understand. We've talked about, you know, what was it? Not
Riz.
Riz, thank you. It's a good thing I have a Gen Zer here. Riz, we talked about that. So here's Samuel Sleeves talking about how he gets young kids to start saying made-up words.
Making up Gen Z sounding slang words and then gaslighting my students into thinking they're real, part two. These are three new ones I'm about to start implementing. The first one, parked. A parked car is not moving. It's boring. It's done. It's over, right? So you'd say, oh my gosh, it's not even lunch yet. This day is absolutely parked. Or maybe someone's like, hey, how's that new movie you saw? You're like, parked. Not worth seeing. Number two, pebbles. This basically means easy. Like if there's a boulder or mountain in your way, that's bad. But if it's just pebbles, smooth sailing, right? Someone was like, hey, how was that test? Absolutely pebbles, brother. Or maybe a friend was like, oh, I'm so sorry, I forgot to bring you your charger. You're like, all pebbles. Number three, Turk. Tarzan was my favorite movie as a kid, and Turk was Tarzan's best friend. So this is just another way of saying your bestie, your day one. Someone's like, do you know Johnny? You're like, Johnny? That's my Turk. Or if you were to invite someone over, you're like, dude, you gotta come over to my house. All the Turks are coming through. Anyway, the best part is, since I sub at different schools in the area, if a middle schooler's like, no one uses these words, they're not real. I'm like, oh no, at the high school? Yeah, you guys wouldn't know, you're just eighth graders, but yeah, these are used all the time at the high school.
I thought that was fantastic, Mr. Zomers.
Oh, I agree. My only thing is using Turk, that's not believable, because the movie Tarzan, sure, I watched it growing up. Yeah. These kids didn't.
Right.
So yeah. That one, the origin is not believable.
I agree with that. Yes, I agree. But I thought Parked and Pebbles, that's just fantastic.
I think Parked especially could be a real thing.
Yeah, that's Parked. That sounds like people I know. Or I also think Pebbles is pretty good. How is the exam? Oh, dude, that was Pebbles. real things are made up things that he gets his kids to believe are true, and then they start saying them. I mean, how about Riz? I think that Riz starts the same way. Like, nobody was saying it, and then somebody said, well, I think we should just call it Riz.
Well, it's from charisma, so it was just, you know, people shorten words to make them easier to say. So, I mean, it comes from somewhere.
Well, so does Pebbles and Parked.
They do. I'm just saying, like, slang, most of the time, has an origin and makes sense.
You should tell me, because you're smarter at this stuff than I am, but we should create our own made-up words and start using it.
Oh, boy.
Not today, but we'll work on it.
Or we'll figure it out.
Or we can take calls as well on it. So the other thing I want to get to quickly, and we can take calls on this if we have time. Maybe we'll do more of this next week. But this is from the New York Post. So, I mean, right there, suspect information. But the headline of the Daily Post, or New York Post, rather, daily showers are purely, quote-unquote, performative and have no real health benefits, experts insist. This was published yesterday.
Who are these experts, and what do they smell like?
Call it perfumative hygiene, the article says. Experts say the daily shower has no proven health benefit, dismissing the dousing of a socially accepted practice geared towards starving off accusations of funkiness, as A-listers like Jake Gyllenhaal and others admit they've been saying no to the nozzle, as in the shower nozzle. Quote, why are we washing? Mostly because we're afraid somebody else will tell us they're smelling our environment. That, according to Diana McCarthy, told the BBC. And while abstaining from the daily shower might seem like antisocial behavior, medical experts are inclined to lead toward agreeing with the earthy types like Jake Gyllenhaal, saying that the modern obsession with cleanliness can actually be hazardous to one's health. Manhattan dermatologist Dr. Julie Rusick previously told the Post that prolonged and daily showers could strip away the, quote, skin's microbiome, unquote, which plays a role in protecting the skin and is, quote, also extremely important to overall health of the body, unquote. We'll come back and discuss this a little bit more. I think that, you know, a shower at least a couple of times a week is a better thing than not, in my opinion. We'll take your calls. Also, Board Game of the Week. Give us a ring back. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show for Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network. I don't remember that part of the song.
Yeah, I think I grabbed it from a movie soundtrack instead of the actual thing. And so I...
long way to go, a short time to get there.
Yeah.
So this New York Post story we're referring to here, saying that daily showers are purely, quote-unquote, performative and have no real health benefit. Talking about a Manhattan dermatologist who says that showering every day could actually be bad for the microbiome in your skin. Well, I think we kind of know that it could get dry, right? If you bathe or shower too much, I guess, or depending upon what kind of shampoo or soap you're using as well. Now, chemist David Whitlock was so adamant about preserving the dermal barrier that the bathing abstainer, get this, reportedly did not shower for 12 years. Instead, opting to spray himself with good bacteria.
What city does this person live in so I can never visit?
When asked about addressing critics, he told Vice, quote, tell anyone who mocks you that they are betraying profound ignorance of the skin microbiome and then walk away, unquote. Well, I think people would walk away from you first. The anti-splash backlash comes as people are actually showering more than ever before. In 2021, researchers at Harvard Health found that 66% of Americans shower every day, while a 2005 report claims that it's common for Brits to shower once or twice per day. According to Dale Southerton, professor of sociology at consumption at the University of Bristol, quote, we wash our bodies so much more than we did in the past. The change has almost come about, only come about in the past 100 years. It was not planned. In fact, some of us seem to have happened almost by accident. Experts have chalked up the phenomenon to increasing prevalence of showers, which became common in U.S. homes circa 1920s and across the pond counterparts in the 1950s. So there you go. I just think that hygiene, there are certain parts of your body we don't need to get specifically about that we all know need to be washed more than others to stay hygienically clean and healthy, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I agree. My reasoning for not always showering every day is because I have talked about it before. I have a disability called POTS, postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. Basically, what it means in ridiculously oversimplified terms, if I stand up from laying down, my body is like, wait a second, you have legs and they're down there now. All my blood pools in my feet and I pass out. It's a lot more complicated than that. But one of the symptoms is heat intolerance. And so for me, the shower in my current apartment, the cold water doesn't really work.
Really?
And so showering is a whole ordeal for me right now where it's going to be like probably between getting in there, showering, and then the recovery time necessary afterward, drinking water and laying down to get my, you know, blood back where it needs to be is like an hour. And so sometimes I'm like, you know what? Not today.
I've never smelled you in your body. No.
Glad to hear that because my nose sucks. Wrong with that. So I didn't know.
Anyway, you know, I'll go sometimes a weekend, like don't shower on Saturday.
If you're just staying home or whatever.
Just chill out or whatever. But I shower more often than not. All right, time once again for the board game of the week.
Entering the room, the door creaks mysteriously. You get a waft of an unshowered Aaron, and he sits at a table, beckoning you to sit down and grab a pencil and a sheet of paper.
All right. That was mysterious.
I suppose. So today, well, you may recall a couple weeks ago, my last board game of the week was Dungeons and Dragons because of its great Wisconsin heritage.
Yes.
Something I neglected to mention is that this is the 50th anniversary of Dungeons and Dragons. So 50 years ago in 1974, the game was first published. And I talked briefly about how to get into playing it. And this time I'm going to give you a bit of a different alternative, but another role-playing game. So similarly, you get some friends together or you meet some new people, get some pens and some paper or pencils, whatever you prefer, roll some dice and basically tell a story together, solve puzzles, go through dungeons or go on adventures. And it's incredibly fun. Even if it sounds goofy, just let yourself be free.
So what's the name of the game?
Well, the one I'm talking about this time is called Old School Essentials.
Old School Essentials. I think that's a new store next to Hobby Lobby.
It could be. It could be.
I'm not sure.
But,
Old School Essentials. Okay.
Basically, it's a reframing of the old Dungeons & Dragons rules. So there are two main ways to get into D&D these days. You can either go with all the new games or you can go with something more old school. I think Old School Essentials is probably the most simple and easy to understand of the old games. And you might say, why not just go with original old D&D if I can find it? Let me give you
a quick
example.
Why don't you just go with original old D&D if you can find it?
Well, here's an example. I'm going to read a little paragraph of rules from the original 1974 D&D and then the same section of rules from Old School Essentials. So here, this is from original 1974 D&D. Ability prime requisites. Average scores are 9 to 12. Units so indicated may be used to increase prime requisite total insofar as this does not bring that category below average, i.e. below a score of 9. Clerics can use strength for a 3 or for 1 basis in their prime requisite area, wisdom, for purposes of gaining experience only. Both fighting men and clerics can use intelligence in their prime requisite areas, strength and wisdom respectively, on a 2 for 1 basis. Wisdom may be used on a 3 for 1 basis by fighting men and on a 2 for 1 basis by magic users in their respective prime requisite areas. So that was nonsense.
We get the idea. All right.
Here's the same section in Old School Essentials. The prime requisite is the ability score or scores that are the most important to the character's class. The character's score and these abilities might affect the rate at which the character gets experience points.
Well, that's much shorter.
That actually makes sense.
Yeah.
So sure. Gary Gygax, bless his heart, he was very verbose. And so these newer games are way easier to understand. So if you're interested in experiencing what role-playing games were like in the 70s and 80s, I definitely recommend Old School Essentials over actual old Dungeons & Dragons. Right. And you can get PDFs of these rules for free online, or you can buy the books. I bought the books because I like having them, but it's free. If you just look up Old School Essentials, you'll find it.
All right. And if you want to check out role-playing games in the 1980s, check out Adam and Eve. That's a whole different kind of role-playing.
That's a completely different thing,
different kind of role-playing game. But this one, once again, what is it called?
This is Old School Essentials.
Old School Essentials. How much does it cost, Mr. Zomers?
Well, it's either free if you just download the rules online, or around, I believe, $50 is what I paid for a box set of the rule books.
All right, very good. All right, so that's this week's Board Game of the Week. There you go. I never got into the big Dungeon and Dragon. Not that I have anything against it, it just wasn't my vibe, I guess. I didn't really know a lot of people who were into it.
Right. Now it's so much easier, and I think more people should try it because you might be surprised. I know a lot of people who thought, well, that's too nerdy for me, or like, I'm just sitting there playing pretend or whatever, and then they try it, and they're like, you know what? This is actually really fun. Just get loosen up, hang out with some friends.
All right. Right. And created right here in Wisconsin.
Indeed, in Lake Geneva.
Lake Geneva. Very good. Not too far from Genoa City, home of the young and the restless. Did you know that?
I did not.
Genoa City, a real place in Wisconsin, is the fictitious home of Young and the Restless. Hitherto unknown facts. We're going to check in with Peter Rapine from E-Bomb's World. Week in review, wacky things real humans have been doing this week. Come back with us. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Oddball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Your news starts now. Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock on this Friday, TGIF, April 26, 2024. That time, once again, that I look forward to our bi-weekly visit on Fridays with our ongoing contributor, Mr. Peter Rapine, the managing editor of E-Bombs World. That's E-B-A-U-M-S World. E-BombsWorld.com. You can find all these stories there. And again, I'd like to remind people, this is not satire. This is not made up. This is not fiction. This is actual wacky stuff that actual wacky humans do. Peter Rapine, thanks for coming back.
How you doing, Todd? Glad to be here.
Always better when you're here, my friend. I love ending the week on a Friday with you because it's uplifting. It makes you chuckle. And it's just a good time had by all.
Well, we should have a great show for you this week.
Absolutely.
Got some funny headlines.
And you follow this piece we had in the New York Post, and I started out by saying, first of all, it's the New York Post, but people saying, you know, these so-called experts saying, maybe people shouldn't shower as much, and this one guy saying he went 12 years with just, quote, spraying himself with good bacteria, unquote, and not taking a shower, that's just gross.
My question is, what is good bacteria?
Right?
What does that mean? I don't think I want to know.
I don't think I want to know either. All right, so let's get to actual wacky headlines here from E-Bomb's World. What do you got for us, Peter? What's leading off the batting order?
Yeah, so the first one is a story that is going to make you want to shower. and it comes to us from the fine world of a Spirit Airlines plane. So our headline reads, plane passengers sob as toilet water floods Spirit cabin.
So right, I just wonder, for right away, we're starting off on a good note with Spirit Airlines. Because I've flown Spirit they fly into Central America, which I've gone to several times. And this, I'm not making this up, as you well know, their headline or their motto on their website is, quote, your ass and gas, unquote. They're a no fringe, no frills airline. So go ahead.
Yeah, no, you get what you pay for with Spirit. And so this one happened on Monday. It was a flight leaving Cranston, Rhode Island. And despite the cries and the sobs from the people on board, because obviously if any of us were in that situation and you saw toilet water flowing down the aisle, you'd be concerned.
Right.
But the good news is that it actually wasn't sewage water. It was a line of potable water for the sink in the bathroom. But the poor people on the flight did not know this in the moment. And so, as most of us would, there's video of women and men being hysterical, crying, sobbing, as a river of water flows down the center aisle.
No, hindsight being 2020, we can laugh about this as funny. But yes, your heart does go out for the people on the flight, because to your point, and you include in this article actual photographs, and there, I mean, it's not just a trickle.
It's a lot of water.
It's a river coming out of the toilet room and coming down the aisle of the plane. And to your point, in the moment, people don't know that that's not sewage.
Of course. And you're already on a Spirit airline. Like, you're waiting for something to happen. And then when something does happen, all your suspicions are proven true. And you're like, oh, crap. We should have got the American Airlines flight, honey. It was $200 more. How dare you?
And their toilets don't overflow.
They don't. No.
That's rich. That's just, yeah. And again, the fact that it happened on Spirit, who's basically the only thing you get for in a Spirit airline is your seat. Mm-hmm. And at mm-hmm. least so far, you can use the toilet for free. But I'm not so sure that will last much longer.
No. Well, I was on a Spirit airline not too long ago, and on the flight, they didn't have any running water.
Really?
So I kind of experienced the exact opposite of this. So people were going to the bathroom and they had to come out and they couldn't wash their hands. And so the flight attendants had to run around the cabin trying to collect hand sanitizer. And it was, not as bad as this. I made sure I held it.
No one was shaking hands as they got off the plane.
Yeah, no thank you, pilot.
Bye-bye. Yeah. All right, next headline.
All right, so this one is, it's classic. Headline reads, kid drops perfect one-liner after a car crashed into a Dunkin' Donuts.
All right.
So this one.
Go ahead.
It's he's been interviewed by a local news station after an alleged student driver crashed into the Dunkin' that I think his mother or father was working in. And so he's a 15-year-old kid. He's been interviewed on the news. And I think, most 15-year-olds kind of wait for moments like this, right? You put in front of a camera, you can say something funny, and he's ready with a great joke. So he says, America doesn't just run on Dunkin', cars do too.
I was just like, America doesn't just run on Dunkin', cars do too.
There's the cut. Nice job, Mr. Zommers, that you've included in EPOM's world there. He just came up with that off the top of his head.
Yeah, which is great. This is what we like to see on the news, is kids being funny or just anyone trying to be funny. But he says it with such a straight face that he doesn't even like smirk. But the camera person behind it was like, way to go, kid.
Oh, yeah. They're leading the news with that. Mm-hmm. And no one was seriously injured, we should add.
No, yeah, no one was seriously injured. I assume that the student driver still has a couple more hours before they're going to get their license. but everyone was okay.
Good point, right?
It does mention in this article, no notes, flawless execution. He later added, quote, I'm happy she didn't get hit. That would not have been good, unquote. Truly a deadpan king.
And where was this happen? Where, Florida? No, it didn't happen in Florida. Rhode Island.
No, this was Rhode Island as well. Yeah.
All right. A rare non-Florida man happening.
Yeah.
We're talking with Peter Rapine. He's the managing editor of EPOM's World with a week in review, wacky things that actual humans actual do. Peter, next headline.
So this might be one of my favorite ones of the week. This guy is kind of being called the Costco hero. Mm. It might be a little hard to explain, but our headline reads, man in barcode t-shirt doesn't want his chicken scanned with LED lights.
Now, wait a minute. I don't know. Did you write this headline?
I did write this headline.
This is brilliant. Man in barcode t-shirt doesn't want his chicken scanned with LED lights.
So this was very chaotic. A guy rolls up to the Costco checkout with like six rotisserie chickens in his cart. And he has a barcode for the chickens because he's clearly bought numerous chickens before and had to not want them to get scanned by LED lights. So he shows up with his own homemade t-shirt with the barcode.
The actual barcode of Costco chicken.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. And he demands that the person at the checkout scan his shirt and not the chickens because he doesn't want to subject the chickens to LED lights. And the person working at the counter obliges and scans his shirt five times. And it works. And so everyone saw this and was thinking, oh, man, it's easy to dunk on him. It's easy to make fun of him. But honestly, he's kind of a genius. I've never seen anyone do this before. And it's something that I kind of want to try. Like, show up at my local bodega and it's like, hey, man, scan my shirt. I'm just getting a six-pack of Coors, dude. Let me get out of here.
Does he tell us why he's opposed to the LED scanner scanning his chicken?
That has remained a mystery. We do not know why. Yeah.
That may be one of my favorite ones in a long time. That's right up there.
Just you have to think about like how many times he had this conversation, like how much you have to get pushed to where you decide, hey, maybe I should just print out the barcode and put it on a shirt. Like, there's a lot of backstory here that we don't have that I wish we had.
Well, and also, what dude goes and buys five or six rotisserie chickens at one time?
Maybe he's bulking? I don't know. It's summer's coming. Are you slimming? Are you bulking up? Who knows?
There's just a lot of questions. A lot of questions there. But that's fantastic. All right, Peter Apine, EPOM's World, looking at headlines here. What else we have in our week in review?
Yes. So this is another troll job or another guy doing something funny wearing a t-shirt. Mm-hmm. So this comes to us from an Instagram creator, a guy named Jason Carr, who what he did is, and I'll read the headline. So, dude trolls self-driving cars by wearing a stop sign t-shirt.
Dude trolls self-driving cars by wearing a stop sign t-shirt. All right.
So, Waymo is this new company where they have autonomous cars that kind of act as taxis. I think they have them in San Francisco and they have them in Phoenix, Arizona. But this clever guy decided, like, hey, why not just print off a stop sign onto my shirt and go stand on the corner or like on the street and wait for one of these cars to pull up and stop in the middle of the road. And he tests it like multiple times throughout the video. And I think it works 3 out of 4 times. Which is funny because, you know, there's a lot of talk about AI.
And, right, right.
Quote unquote AI and self-driving cars. But who's going to win, a $1 billion company or a man with a funny shirt?
So for our listeners who are, you know, it makes more sense when you see the photo too. So these autonomous cars, for those who don't know, these are the self, quote unquote, self-driving cars. There's no person in it. And so they might be an Uber or a taxi and they pick you up and they drop you off and you never see a person. And so they have all these cameras or radar on them to help them, quote unquote, drive. So this dude has a t-shirt with an actual stop sign on it and just stands by the road and the car sees this and slams on the brakes. Now, to the poor son of a, that's in the car that gets their head bonked, probably not funny, but to us watching, very amusing.
The human ingenuity knows no bounds. It truly is.
I mean, did he do this just for a prank, for a bit? I mean, do we know why? He was bored?
He's just doing it for the lulz. You know, go out there and cause some good drama, some fun drama, get in good trouble.
Good trouble. All right. Very good. That winner, winner, chicken dinner. All right, Peter Apine, other headlines of the week. About 2 minutes left before our first break.
All right. I'm not sure if you guys maybe talked about this week, but it's a pretty big story online. So there's a company now that has put a flamethrower on one of those robotic dogs.
What? No. No, yes. Get out.
Yes. So our headline is pretty straightforward. They put a flamethrower on a robotic dog.
See?
Just let that sit in for a minute.
The listeners will know, and Mr. Zomers will tell you, I am bound and determined I will meet my demise at the feet of a robotic dog. I'm not making that up,
right?
He
said it before.
Yes. They put a flamethrower on a robotic. These are these, again, AI robotic dogs that I mean, they're going to take over. And someone has put a flamethrower on one?
Yeah. So for just $9,400, you can own a Therminator, which the company Throw Flames is calling the first ever flamethrower-wielding robot dog. And the video is pretty cool. I mean, who doesn't want this? I want this. I don't have an extra.
You want this? And
of course. Are you kidding me? It's the coolest thing you could ever imagine.
Well, I mean, it's cool. But I mean, if the thing gets out of control, it's just going to turn around and fry you.
Probably. Now, the worst place to go.
Now, Mr. Zomers is playing the video here in the studio for me. Does it look cool? Yes.
Also terrifying.
But also terrifying.
Terrifying.
Especially when it's jumping. For some reason, that's much more menacing.
Right.
I mean, imagine you take your dog to the dog park. And like, you know, some other dog starts biting it, fighting it. Instead of trying to like separate them, you just set the flamethrower on.
Right. Well, here, let's be practical for a second. We need to link this dude up with the flame-throwing robotic dog with the guy that's got six chickens and just cook them all at once. I mean,
yeah, we're doing matchmaker.
Right. Politically matchmaking here on EPOM's World. Mary, listening in Mount Horeb on WMDX, says, quote, you said the guy with the stop sign shirt succeeded 3 out of 4 times. Does that mean he got hit the other time?
No.
He was standing on the sidewalk, not like in the road.
Jeff Perry, the time that he failed, it was late at night and it was dark. So
Jeff,
it's hard to see him.
Jeff Perry on Facebook says, I'll put a flamethrower on your dog for only $2,500. Back with more with Peter Raypom at EPOM's World. Week in review, wacky headlines, the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock, the top of the hour, news, weather, sports, and then our friend and colleague Maggie Dawn with the Maggie Dawn Show. Every afternoon between 2 and 4, do not miss it, Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4, immediately following our program. Right now, we have our ongoing contributor and friend, Mr. Peter Raypine, joins us. He's the managing editor of the great E-Bombs World, all these stories that we're talking about today. You can find the entire story and much, much more on E-Bombs World. And again, the great part about this, Peter, is these are not things you guys make up, but you're scouring the interwebs, the world, to bring us the best of the best in human nature, or some would say.
Yeah, we like to think that we're funny, but we're not that funny here.
Right. More week in review headlines. What else you got for us?
Yeah, so we do like to cover some conspiracy stuff from time to time, and not like serious conspiracies. We like the low-hanging fruit, the funny stuff, the stuff that makes us laugh. And one of those has been Flat Earth. And Flat Earth, as you know, has kind of been in the news, maybe less over the years, but for the last 5 or 6 years, it's kind of bubbled up. But Flat Earthers have kind of come full circle, and now they're claiming in a new theory that the Earth actually isn't flat, but it's round, but still kind of flat. So our headline reads, new Flat Earth theory suggests the Earth is round, actually.
New Flat Earth theory suggests the Earth is round, actually. All right, very good. I just like
so the theory. Yeah. So the theory itself is called the Great Ice Ball Earth Theory. And it claims that our entire globe, everything that you know we know as Earth, is encompassed in a small circle on what is a larger sphere of ice. And that once you go to Antarctica, there's a giant ice wall that you can't climb. And then the rest of the world is just a circle of ice, but we're trapped on a flat sphere just on the tip of that circle. pause to understand what any of that means.
Well, and the fact that this is, again, not made up, that there are people in 2024 that still actually believe the Earth is flat. We're not making that up.
No, we're not.
Despite the fact we have cameras in space, that we have the technology to literally measure the world and everything
Todd,
about it.
Todd, hold up. That's not real. They faked the moon landing. Right, yeah. Like, we don't have cameras in space. We just have really good CG artists.
And as far as Flat Earth goes, this is probably the bookend for us in the journey of the Flat Earth theory, because we've covered people bringing levels onto planes. We've covered people doing their own experiments and proving that the Earth was round and then denying those experiments. I feel like this one is a nice kind of final story in the idea of Flat Earth. You really can't go anywhere from here.
Flat Earther has finally come around.
Yeah.
I'll be here all week, which lasts about 4 more minutes. Peter, next story here from EPOM's World.
Yes, so the London Marathon, I believe, happened just last week. And there's a video of a man who calls himself, I think he calls himself the wine guy. And he's like a wine connoisseur. I think the correct term is this wine sommelier.
Yes, he knows wines.
Mm-hmm. And so what he did is he filmed himself drinking one wine per mile during the London Marathon.
How is that even possible? How many bottles of wine is that?
A lot.
I think I thought it was also a different wine per mile, maybe.
It was. Oh yeah. So he had a wine glass that he ran with, and he had like a little loop on his shorts that he hooked it on. Uh-huh. And every mile, some of his friends would be waiting for him with a glass. He'd take a sip, try to guess where it was from, guess the year. And he wasn't just sipping, he was downing these, you know, not huge glasses, but,
right, but still
big enough. Yeah. And he made he finished the whole race. With a smile on his face.
That's give the guy a round of applause.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think anybody who's gone to, like, a winery, and you get to, like, sample 6 wines, and they give you, like, you know, maybe a couple of shots worth. By the time you get to that 6th one and you're done, I mean, you got to wait a while before you drive.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, and this guy, not for running.
Right? And that's a point. This guy has done it 26 times and is running between each one.
Yeah. I mean, he's the perfect example of what we call a true internet hero. Just a guy doing, you know, whatever he wants. No, you know, no second guessing it.
I think that's
pretty heartwarming.
I'd like to get that guy on the show, quite frankly. I mean, that'd be a great interview. As long as you have some wine.
Yeah. He probably has some. I think, you know, it's going to be on his rider.
All right. Next headline, sir.
Sorry. So this one also comes to us from London. And we love security cams. We love Ring camera fails. So much funny stuff happens on people's doorsteps, in their backyards. And this video comes to us from a man in London who kept noticing turds on his Ferrari. And so he found footage, multiple instances of the same fox pooping on his Ferrari.
Headline, fox just won't stop crapping on London man's Ferrari 488 GTB. And there's actual footage. There's actual footage of this happening. What in the world would propel a random fox from crapping on a Ferrari?
See, that's something that we weren't necessarily able to answer. It was originally reported by the Daily Mail. But they didn't really have an answer as to why the fox was so transfixed with the Ferrari. I wonder if it might have anything to do with the color of the car, because the car is like a very bright pink color. Though I could just be, you know, guessing into the wind with that one. But either this guy really ticked off this fox, or this fox has been trained by one of this man's, like, mortal enemies. We don't really know.
Well, that's the thing that's so elusive and mysterious about it. I mean, if it were a dog, you'd say, well, someone has trained this dog to do this. This appears to be a wild, feral fox that's just happened by and continues to do his duty on this car.
Yeah, we love it.
I love it. It's a fantastic. Once again, you've outdone yourself. Peter Apine, managing editor of EPOM's World. Thank you so much, my friend. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
Always a pleasure. Peter Apine. We appreciate him stopping by. Mr. Zomers, appreciate you as always. And all of our callers, make it a great weekend across Wisconsin. We'll see you on Monday. Until then, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, Todd Allball saying, keep banging your drum. Keep banging on, banging.